Brown?
Yes, Chief Justice, good morning.
Good morning to you. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chief Justice, and may it please the court, counsel. My name is Jonathan Brown. I represent the appellants in this case, Jennifer Wheeler and Laura Wilson. This is a case of first impression with this court, dealing with the no-fault removal provisions applicable to trustees as codified in Nebraska Chapter 30, Section 3826, also known as UTC 706B4. Appellants and the qualified beneficiaries of this trust, all qualified beneficiaries, unanimously seek removal of Elkhorn Valley Bank and Trust as trustee in the appointment of David Wilson, an attorney in the state and husband of the appellant Laura Wilson, as successor trustee. I would first like to briefly address the relative lack of jurisprudence on this provision of the UTC. After all, this is a uniform statutory scheme that has been widely adopted since its promulgation in 2000 and has been adopted in Nebraska since 2003. The specific provision relies on statutorily undefined principles such as material purpose and best interests. And one would be justified in wondering at the lack of legal precedent. Appellants posit that the relative lack of national jurisprudence on this specific issue is very likely due to a lack of objection from trustees, both individual and corporate, in the face of a unanimous removal request by all beneficiaries. To accomplish this no-fault removal, appellants must meet four conjunctive requirements, the first of which is that the removal is requested by all beneficiaries, and there is no dispute that this has been met.
So is this under a change of circumstance or because of the request of the beneficiary?
No, Justice Falk, this is under a unanimous request of the beneficiary, so there's been no alleged change in circumstances at this point. Also, the appellants in this case must show that removal of the trustee best serves the interest of all beneficiaries. Third, that removal is not inconsistent with the material purpose of the trust. And lastly, that a suitable successor trustee. Appellants are asking this court, upon a de novo review of the record, to find independently of the trial court on the record that the trial court's finding that the clear designation of Elkhorn Valley Bank as trustee constitutes a material purpose of the trust with nothing more. Second, we're asking this court to find de novo on the record that removal best serves the interests of the qualified beneficiaries that are seeking this removal.
Let's start there on whether it best serves all the beneficiaries. You noted that there's not a lot of case law out there interpreting this model act, but there are a few cases from other states. And with respect to that prong in particular, those opinions talk about the need for a comparison between what the current trustee can do and its abilities and what the proposed successor trustee could do. Do you agree that that's an appropriate way to analyze this prong?
Absolutely, Justice Papik. There is some case law on best interests that specifically is the McKinney case out of Pennsylvania, which cites Rapella out of Utah. And I think they list out a list of 11 factors that have also been adopted by a court in Connecticut. So there are three states in the states that have determined and have analyzed the best interests standard.
So what's your argument on those factors?
Sure. I don't want to go through all 11, Justice Papik, but I think, as stated in my brief, if you do go through each one of them, and I will throw out a few, personalization of service. Second, cost of administration. This is a very important one in this case, particularly because the proposed successor trustee has offered to serve as trustee at no cost. This is a case in which between 2011 and 2016, the trustees' fees charged to the trust have exceeded the dispersal of the trust income to the lifetime beneficiaries, the appellants in this case.
But I didn't understand you to be contending that either the fees were excessive or the trust was being mismanaged. It's solely a claim that this trustee charges for their services and we'd like to have someone that doesn't.
Certainly not, Justice Papik. Are we alleging that Elkhorn Valley Bank has mismanaged this trust in any way? There is a provision that's provided for in our statutory framework that provides for a no-fault removal. And as we're going through the list of 11 factors articulated in McKinney that outline what to look for, Cost of administration is simply one of those factors, and like the others, the appellants posit and argue that they fall in favor of the successor trustee, David Wilson.
So you have the cost of administration because of the testimony that Mr. Wilson wouldn't charge fees. But what can you point to in the record on any of those other factors?
I think the record is clear, Your Honor, that David Wilson, as the husband of Laura Wilson, has a better personal knowledge of the trusts and the beneficiaries' financial situations. And I think there is some testimony on the record about the other appellant, Jennifer Wheeler, who is at this time not receiving her annual income from the trust because she is paying it back for taking out educational services or educational expenses and not completing her education. There is nothing in the trust that dictates that if you don't obtain your degree, you have to pay that back. But nonetheless, Elkhorn Valley Bank sought that to essentially add that provision with the consent of the trial court and enforce that against Ms. Wheeler.
Didn't Mr. Wilson appear on behalf of a party at the motion trying to set aside the trustee, change the trustee?
Yes.
And does that matter?
No, Justice Stacy, I don't think it does. Mr. Wilson's appearance on behalf of the appellants in that case was simply to show the court that not only is his service to this trust in their best interest, and I think Laura Wilson testified to that as well on the record, but that he is a suitable successor trustee, which is dipping into the fourth prong of the four-part test as well.
Ultimately, wasn't the county court concerned about the termination of the trust? I mean, is that really the deciding factor here? It wasn't that Mr. Wilson wasn't necessarily competent. It was more of an issue of his stated intention of following the beneficiary's request to terminate the trust. Isn't that really the point that turns for the district or the county court?
Yes, Justice Funk. I believe that was a consideration for the trial court. I think it's explained in Judge Taylor's order. However, I think Judge Taylor put the cart before the horse, so to speak, in that at this juncture, the trustee or the proposed successor trustee is not seeking to terminate the trust. That is a separate provisional remedy that is provided for under Section 411 of the Uniform Trust Code, and then one that, Justice, you wrote about in Ray Trust of Shire extensively. That is not before the court and was not before the court at the trial, at the trial court level.
Can't a trustor's desire for an independent trustee be a material purpose of a trust?
Absolutely, Justice Castle, it can. However, in going back to defining what a material purpose is, there is nothing in the trust itself that specifies what qualities or what Elkhorn Valley Bank can do as a trustee that a proposed successor trustee cannot do. It does
not
differentiate.
Can you remind me, what's the investment authority of the bank?
Under the terms of the trust? Mm-hmm. It does not specify under the terms of the trust. The trust bequeathed the estate of the settlor of the trust to provide for his niece.
It's illiquid real estate, isn't it?
Correct, but even liquid even real estate, if the appellants were successful in moving to terminate the trust under Section 411, that that real estate could be liquidated and dispersed among the beneficiaries.
Is it your position that the stated desire to terminate the trust is just irrelevant to the analysis in this proceeding, or that it somehow tilts the analysis in your favor?
Both, Justice Papik. I think it is irrelevant to this proceeding because this proceeding deals only with removal of the trustee, the no-fault removal of the trustee. However, on the record, I believe there was testimony that explained what the benefit would be to the qualified beneficiaries, not only increasing, if for instance, the successor trustee was not successful in terminating the trust, there would be a de facto increase in the annual income distributions to the beneficiaries.
I don't know that I follow how it can simultaneously be irrelevant and helpful.
Well, this court can take a look at the record and provide direction not only for our case but in future cases in defining exactly what a material purpose is in a trust document. In our specific case, Justice Papik, we're asking the court to find that the mere designation of a trustee with nothing more is not a material purpose.
Counsel, would you disagree that the proposed successor trustee is not independent?
I would agree with that, but there is nothing in the trust code that would prevent David Wilson from serving as trustee. In fact, it was admitted in the briefs and at the trial court letter, that there was no legal conflict with David Wilson serving as trustee. He would be under the same provisions of fiduciary duty provisions as would any other trustee, including Elkhorn Valley Bank.
But what do you do with Mr. Stafford's testimony at the hearing that Mr. Fenske wanted someone independent?
Chief Justice, I see I'm out of time. I would like just a brief moment to respond to Justice Papik's question.
You may indeed.
I'm glad that you asked about the Scrivener's testimony. I would direct your attention to the specific testimony that Elkhorn Valley Bank was the only game in town at the time that the settler drafted this testamentary trust. He also stated that he does not know if it matters who is trustee. What he did state, Justice Papik, is that education was important, and ultimately he wanted to keep it together for a third generation. Allowing David Wilson to be the successor trustee in this case accomplishes both of those goals. And I am out of time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Fitzgerald, good morning to you.
Good morning, Chief Justice. May it please the court, counsel, my name is Mark Fitzgerald, and I represent the trustee, Elkhorn Valley Bank. In 2003, in a Creighton Law Review article, Professor Volkmer predicted that Nebraska's adoption of the UTC Section 706 would likely open the door more widely to judicial removal of trustees than had been the case up to that point. That has not been the case in Nebraska, at least up until this point, 15 or 16 years later. Actually, as counsel indicated and the parties agree in their briefs, this may be the first no-fault trustee removal case to reach the appellate courts in this state. In his article, Professor Volkmer suggests that the litigated issues would likely center on whether a substantial change of circumstances had occurred or whether the removal of a trustee would be inconsistent with the material purpose of the trust. Professor Volkmer underestimates the ingenuity of Nebraska lawyers where phrases like substantial change of circumstances, best interests, inconsistent with the material purpose, and suitable successor trustee all come up in one statute that consists of 50 words. This case, as counsel indicates and as the court inquired, does not involve a substantial change of circumstances. They pled that, but that's not where the case went at trial, and that's not what was argued in the brief. Nor does this case really primarily concern a material purpose of the Jack Fenske Trust. As counsel explained, the UTC statute, the no-fault statute, permits removal if there has been either a substantial change of circumstances or all of the beneficiaries agree. And here we have a situation where all the beneficiaries agree. And then there are three other factors that are not alternative. They are that the removal must not be inconsistent with the material purpose of the trust, a suitable co-trustee must be available, and whether or not removal best serves the interests of all of the beneficiaries. This case hinges on that element. Does removal best serve the interests of the beneficiaries? Some of the courts that have considered this have called this best interests. And I think that can be misleading, because the interests of beneficiaries is a defined term in the Uniform Trust Code. And it means the beneficial interests in terms of the trust. That largely is ignored by the appellants in their argument, in their brief, and in argument today.
How would that change the analysis, in your view?
It's critical, Justice Pepe.
Is that the setup for who's driving this train, the trustor?
Yes. The critical difference between something that is simply best interest, an invitation to consider all sorts of factors, is changed when you look at the UTC definition of beneficial interests in terms of the trust, because that means that the beneficiaries, in their decision to seek to a removal of a trustee.
So maybe the better question is the settlor driving this train?
Yes, the settlor is entitled, and this court has precedential cases that indicate that the interests of the settlor in deciding who is going to be the trustee is of paramount interest. And that cannot be ignored. And in this particular case, or in this case, Jack Finske decided he wanted Elkhorn Valley Bank to be the trustee, and he identified Elkhorn Valley Bank as his trustee. So when we look at the beneficial interests in terms of the trust, then we have to look at what Jack Finske did in the trust. And Jack Finske specifically identified Elkhorn Valley Bank to be the trustee.
Are you arguing that that's a material purpose of the trust?
Certainly, the Chief Justice of the County Court indicated that was how Judge Taylor was looking at it. It appears that most of the courts that have considered this have evaluated the decision of who should be the trustee in terms of the beneficial interests of all of the beneficiaries, and that's the factor where they have compared the trustee possibilities. The material terms of this trust, I think that can be ferreted out, are three. Provide income for Jennifer and Laura, provide educational opportunities for Jennifer and Laura, and to distribute the property at the death of Jennifer and Laura and not before. It was really not a material purpose of the trust that it provide work for Elkhorn Valley Bank, but it was the settlor's intent that Elkhorn Valley Bank express intent that Elkhorn Valley Bank be the trustee, and that was expressed specifically in the trust. That factor has been evaluated under the beneficial interests of the best interests of beneficiaries factor in the list of factors.
Is it your position that having an independent entity, independent from the family, was a material purpose of the trust? Independent entity as trustee.
It certainly could have, Justice Papik. It was his intent that there be an independent non-family member trustee. That was expressed.
Isn't that really a means to an end?
Yes. That was the procedure by which he at least indicated he or identified in the trust the means by which he was going to maintain the assets over the course of the duration of the trust that he wanted to do.
Do you think it was a purpose of the trust to preserve the land intact as long as possible?
That's what Mr. Stafford said was the intent of Jack Fenske. The cases indicate that we should be cautious in inferring intent outside of the terms of the trust. The specific trust does say, however, that the corpus will not be distributed until the death of Jennifer and the death of Laura. So the express intent of Jack Fenske that we can see in the language of the trust itself is that the corpus would continue to exist through their lives.
You read that one of the charges of the bank is to preserve the corpus.
It is.
I'd like to ask you the same question I asked Mr. Brown. Is it your position that the beneficiaries and possible successor trustees' stated desire to terminate the trust, is that irrelevant to the analysis in this proceeding, or does that tilt in your client's favor?
The stated desire of the beneficiaries to preserve the assets of the trust?
To terminate. That they want to wind the thing up.
That certainly weighs in favor of the trustee here. That is, in their brief, the appellants take the position that, wait a second, in our petition we asked for the appointment of a new trustee as part of a process by which we would then liquidate the trust assets at some early time before what Jack Fenske said should occur. May I finish?
You may finish.
With respect to the petition, they say all that, and then in the brief they say, well, appellee takes the position, the trustee takes the position that we have this plan, and this is just step one of the plan, that is eliminate the existing trustee and then liquidate, and we still have to get court permission to go on to part two. Well, I mean, I don't think you can have your cake and eat it too here. That was the plan. Mr. Wilson serving as trustee was also part of the plan. I believe that the county court was perfectly able to look at what they said, what Laura testified to at trial, and also what they said in their petition in determining that was an inconsistent position with regard to the trust. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. The next case of the